The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Times of India, IndiaTimes.com, blind and visual impairment cases have dropped dramatically across the country. From the independent.co.uk, air pollution can cause AMD. From the studyfinds.org, the dietary supplement can prevent AMD. From CBS News, a blind man was arrested because his cane was mistaken for a gun. From SciTechDaily.com, gene therapy can restore night vision. From FightingBlindness.org, there is a webinar that was held November 12th, that was this past Saturday. So let me get started. TimesofIndia.IndiaTimes.com. Cases of blindness and visual impairment declined dramatically across India. Article by Anuja Jaiswal, J-A-I-S-W-A-L, posted November 9th. New Delhi, there is some good news. Blindness and visual impairment, VI, in India reduced by 47.1% and 51.9% respectively in 2019. In overall population as compared to World Health Organization's figures of 2010. However, India is yet to achieve WHO's goal of reducing blindness to 0.3% of the total population, as the present figures stand at 0.36%. According to a recent study for estimating the prevalence of blindness and visual impairment in the Indian population, more than one-fourth of people aged 50 years and above are visually impaired in India, and the prevalence of blindness among them is 1.99%. The study has been published in peer-reviewed scientific journal PLOS in ophthalmology. According to WHO, a person who is unable to count fingers from a distance of 3 meters would be considered blind. The survey was conducted from 2015 to 2019 by Dr. Rajendra Prasad Center for Ophthalmic Sciences of the AIIMS in collaboration with the Union Health Ministry using the Rapid Assessment of Avoidable Blindness, RAAB, method. It covered 93,018 people aged 50 years in 31 districts over 24 states and union territories with the assistance of National Program for Control of Blindness and Visual Impairment, NPCB-VI. Among the 31 surveyed districts, the highest prevalence was seen in Bijnor, Uttar Pradesh, 3.37%, whereas the lowest was in Thrissur, Kerala, 1.1%. Prevalence of blindness was higher among females than males in all districts except Khera, K-H-E-R-A, in Gujarat, Birbhum, B-I-R-B-H-U-M, in West Bengal, and Kadapa in Andhra Pradesh, where prevalence among males was higher. In Warangal, Telangana, there was an equal prevalence among males and females. Principal investigator of the survey and officer in charge of community ophthalmology at DRP Center for Ophthalmic Sciences, Dr. Praveen Vashist, said untreated cataract continues to be the most common cause of blindness and visual impairment in adults aged 50 years or more, despite nearly 65 lakh, I'm sure they mean LASIK, cataract surgeries conducted in India, with an average cataract surgical rate of nearly 5,000 per 10 LAKH population per year. After such findings, it was suggested we conduct 2.7 CROre surgeries in the next 3 years under the GOI initiative to reduce the prevalence rate of blindness, he added. The survey protocol was approved by the Institute Ethics Committee, AIIMS, New Delhi, and funded by the Government of India. The major causes of blindness included cataract, 66.2%, followed by corneal opacity, 8.2%, cataract surgical complications, 7.2%, posterior segment disorders, 5.9%, and glaucoma, 5.5%. The proportion of blindness and visual impairment that is due to avoidable causes is 92.9% and 97.4%, respectively. Dr. Vashist said India has implemented a series of effective measures in its current national program for control of blindness and visual impairment, NPCB, &VI, to combat the situation, and it has resulted in a significant decline in prevalence of blindness over the past few decades. In the population aged 50 years and above, the prevalence of blindness has declined from 5.3% in 2001 to 3.6% in 2007 and to 1.9% in the current survey. The study revealed that a higher prevalence was noted in females than in males, and participants residing in rural regions had higher prevalence of blindness than those living in urban regions. Also, participants who are illiterate had nearly six times higher odds of being blind than those who are educated, the study stated. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, KOOAPPY, YouTube. From the independent.co.uk, air pollution could increase risk of irreversible sight loss. Article by Conrad Duncan. Exposure to air pollution could increase the risk of developing a form of irreversible sight loss in older age, researchers have claimed following a large-scale observational study. The long-term research published in the British Journal of Ophthalmology found that air pollutants were linked to a heightened risk of age-related macular degeneration, AMD, a progressive form of sight loss. AMD is the leading cause of irreversible blindness in the over 50s in wealthy countries such as the UK, with known risk factors including older age, smoking, and genetic predisposition. The research drew on data from 115,954 participants of the community-based UK Biobank study, which involves more than 500,000 people. More than 52,000 people also had their eyes examined with retinal imaging to assess structural changes in the thickness and numbers of receptors in the retina, which are indicative of AMD. The study found that just over 1% of the overall participants, 1,286 people, who were aged between 40 and 69 at the start of the study, had no eye problems were diagnosed with AMD. Once other factors, such as lifestyle and underlying health conditions, were taken into account, analysis found that participants exposed to higher levels of concentrations of the pollutant, PM2.5, were 8% more likely to report that they had been diagnosed with AMD. PM2.5 and other pollutants were also associated with changes in the structure of people's retinas. Overall, our findings suggest that ambient air pollution, especially fine particulate matter or those of combustion-related particles, may affect AMD risk, the researchers said. Our findings add to the growing evidence of the damaging effects of ambient air pollution, even in the setting of relative low exposure. However, they noted that their research was an observational study and could not prove that pollution caused sight loss, although it echoed findings elsewhere in the world. Here we have identified yet another health risk posed by air pollution, strengthening the evidence that improving the air we breathe should be a key public health priority. Lead author of the study, Professor Paul Foster from University College London's Institute of Ophthalmology, said, "Our findings suggest that living in an area with polluted air, particularly fine particulate matter, or combustion-related particles that come from road traffic, could contribute to eye disease." Professor Foster added, "Even relatively low exposure to air pollution appears to impact the risk of AMD, suggesting that air pollution is an important modifiable risk factor affecting risk of eye disease for a very large number of people." Chris Engelhern, Engelhern, professor of molecular ophthalmology at the University of Leeds, said the study and another from Taiwan both showed a link between air pollution and age-related macular degeneration. He added that the links did not prove pollution was causing AMD, but the fact that the two independent studies reached similar conclusions gave greater confidence that the link was accurate. These studies provide further evidence that links air pollution with detrimental impacts on human health, Professor Engelhern said. From studyfinds.org, dietary supplement shows ability to prevent macular degeneration. Posted September 14th. Dateline Bethesda, Maryland. The most common cause of blindness in older Americans is age-related macular degeneration, AMD. However, there is hope that people can slow the progression of vision loss down. Researchers with the National Eye Institute analyzed 10 years' worth of data and found that a modified version of the AREDS2 formula, which contains the antioxidants lutein and zeaxanthin, Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N, was effective in slowing down AMD progression. Because beta-carotene increased the risk of lung cancer for current smokers, in two NIH-supported studies, our goal with AREDS2 was to create an equally effective supplement formula that could be used by anyone, whether or not they smoke, explains lead study author Emily Chu, MD, CHEW, Director of the Division of Epidemiology and Clinical Application at the National Eye Institute, in a media release. This 10-year data confirms that not only is the new formula safer, it's actually better at slowing AMD progression. What is macular degeneration? AMD is a degenerative eye disease. It centers around the deterioration of the retina, a tissue in the back of your eye that detects and captures light. As someone develops AMD, the retinal cells in the macula, the part of the retina involved in clear central vision, begin to die. After a significant amount of retinal cell death, a person begins to experience blindness. There are treatments available to delay or reverse vision loss, but there's no cure for AMD. The original study involving the AREDS formula took place in 1996. Researchers at the time devised a dietary supplement containing 500 milligrams vitamin C, 400 international units of vitamin E, 2 milligrams of copper, 80 milligrams of zinc, and 15 milligrams of beta-carotene. They tested the dietary supplement on people at risk for AMD to see if it could slow the progression from moderate to late disease. While effective, two later studies noted concerns over the use of beta-carotene. For smokers and those using the formula containing beta-carotene, there was an elevated risk of lung cancer. A second trial took place in 2006. AREDS2 involved substituting the beta-carotene with 10 milligrams of lutein and 2 milligrams of zeaxanthin. Both lutein and zeaxanthin are antioxidants that boost retinal activity. The team selected people to receive either formulation and tested its safety and the effectiveness in slowing down the progression of AMD. Although for safety reasons only non-smokers or people who quit smoking took the beta-carotene AREDS formula, the study went on for 5 years. After that time, the researchers found that swapping beta-carotene for lutein and zeaxanthin did not raise a person's lung cancer risk. Additionally, the new formula for the dietary supplement reduced AMD risk of progression by 26%. AREDS2 reduces late-stage AMD risk. The new study reported by NIH researchers was a follow-up of the 2006 AREDS2 trial. They followed up with 3,883 of the original 4,203 participants for another 5 years to see how their AMD progressed and if they developed lung cancer. All of the participants had switched to the modified formula by the end of the study. For people who took the beta-carotene formulation and had a history of smoking, their risk of lung cancer doubled. Fortunately, those on the modified supplement with lutein and zeaxanthin showed no increased lung cancer risk. There was also an additional 20% reduction in the risk of progression to late-stage AMD compared to participants who originally took the beta-carotene formula. These results confirmed that switching our formula from beta-carotene to lutein and zeaxanthin was the right choice, concludes Dr. Chu. The study is published in JAMA Ophthalmology. About the author, Jocelyn Solis Moreira, M-O-R-E-I-R-A. Jocelyn is a New York-based science journalist whose work has appeared in Discover Magazine, Health, and Live Science, among other publications. She holds a Master of Science degree in psychology with a concentration in behavioral neuroscience and a Bachelor of Science in Integrative Neuroscience from Binghamton University. Jocelyn has reported on several medical and science topics, ranging from coronavirus news to the latest findings in women's health. From CBSNews.com, A blind man was arrested after an officer thought he had a gun. It was his cane. Posted November 10th. A blind man in Florida was arrested after officers mistook his cane for a gun. Now two officers with the Columbia County Sheriff's Office have been put on temporary administrative leave. Body camera footage shows an officer approach James Hodges as he walks down the street in Lake City, asking him what is in his back pocket. Hodges tells the officer, who has been identified as Deputy Jamie Goade, J-A-Y-M-E-G-O-H-D-E, it is a navigational aid. Hodges asks for the reason why Goade stopped him, and she says she thought it was a firearm, and she's making sure he's carrying it properly. Hodges takes the cane, which is folded up, out of his back pocket to show her it is not a gun. Goade tells Hodges he is being a dick when he questions why she stopped him. Hodges then begins to speak to another officer identified as Sergeant Randy Harrison at the scene. Her suspicion was that you were armed, and she was asking for your ID, the officer tells him. Well, now she's verified that I'm not armed, so there's no problem, Hodges says. Harrison continues to argue with Hodges, then both officers proceed to handcuff and arrest him. During the arrest, Harrison asks if Hodges is legally blind, and he says yes. When Hodges asks for the officers' names and badge numbers, Harrison says, you know what, put him in jail for resisting. According to an arrest report obtained by CBS News, Hodges was arrested for resisting an officer without violence. During a press conference on Tuesday, Sheriff Mark Hunter said the body camera footage was provided to Hodges and then was circulated across many outlets. CBS Gainesville affiliate WGFL obtained the video. The incident occurred October 31st, and the sheriff's office began its investigation on November 3rd when the incident was brought to their attention, Hunter said. WGFL received an internal report written after Hodges filed a complaint against the officers. The report states the officers ultimately arrested him with insufficient probable cause. The arrest was made after Sergeant Harrison gave an unlawful order to make an arrest after probable cause did not exist, the report states. On November 7th, the sheriff's office determined the officers committed several policy violations. Hunter said Harrison will be demoted immediately and suspended without pay for 7 days. Goade will be suspended without pay for 2 days. Both will undergo remedial training on civil rights. I do not feel these deputies' actions were guided with ill intent, but rather frustration and failure to rely on their training, Hunter said. Nevertheless, this conduct is unacceptable. We will work hard and train to ensure these incidents do not reoccur. The Columbia County Sheriff's Office did not have further comment at this time. In an interview with WGFL, Hodges' partner, Rutha M. Jenkins, said the incident was a shock to Hodges. When they pulled it out, they saw it was a cane, so that should have been enough right there to let them know he's blind, she said. You're all messing with the wrong person, but I don't think they care. Article by Caitlin O'Kane, K-A-N-E. Caitlin O'Kane is a digital content producer covering trending stories for CBS News and its good news brand, The Uplift. From SciTechDaily.com, that's S-C-I-T-E-C-H, daily.com, gene therapy can restore night vision after decades of congenital blindness. By University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, posted November 8th. The patients had Leber congenital amaurosis, a type of genetic congenital blindness. According to researchers at the SCHEIE Eye Institute at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, adults with a genetic form of childhood onset blindness experienced remarkable recoveries of night vision within days of receiving an experimental gene therapy. The patients had Leber congenital amaurosis, LCA, a congenital blindness caused by the GUCY2D gene mutations. The findings were published in the journal iScience. That's little I, capital S, C-I-E-N-C-E. The researchers administered AAV gene therapy, which contains the DNA of the healthy form of the gene, into the retina of one eye for each of the patients in line with the clinical trial protocol. Each patient had significant gains in rod-type photoreceptor cell-mediated visual functions in the treated eye within days after treatment. The majority of the human eye's ability to see in low light comes from the rod cells, which are very light-sensitive. These exciting results demonstrate that the basic molecular machinery of phototransduction remains largely intact in some cases of LCA, and thus can be amenable to gene therapy even after decades of blindness, said study lead author Samuel G. Jacobson, MD, PhD, a professor of ophthalmology at Penn. One in every 40,000 newborns is born with LCA, which is one of the most frequent congenital blindness conditions. While the extent of vision loss might vary from patient to patient with LCA, all such individuals experience substantial visual impairment starting in the first few months of life. There are more than 24 genes whose dysfunction can cause LCA. Up to 20% of LCA cases are caused by mutations in GUCY2D, a gene that encodes a key protein needed in retinal photoreceptor cells for the phototransduction cascade, the process that converts light to neuronal signals. Priority imaging studies have shown that patients with this form of LCA tend to have relatively preserved photoreceptor cells, especially in rod-rich areas, hinting that rod-based phototransduction could work again if functional GUCY2D were present. Early results with low doses of the gene therapy reported last year were consistent with this idea. The researchers used higher doses of the gene therapy in two patients, a 19-year-old man and a 32-year-old woman, who had particularly severe rod-based visual deficits. In daylight, the patients had some, albeit greatly impaired, visual function, but at night they were effectively blind, with light sensitivity on the order of 10,000 to 100,000 times less than normal. The researchers administered the therapy to just one eye in each patient, so the treated eye could be compared to the untreated eye to gauge treatment effects. The retinal surgery was performed by Alan C. Ho, MD, a professor of ophthalmology at Thomas Jefferson University and Wills Eye Hospital. Tests revealed that in both patients, the treated eyes became thousands of times more light sensitive in low light conditions, substantially correcting the original visual deficits. The researchers used, in all, 9 complementary methods to measure the patient's light sensitivity and visual functions. These included tests of room navigation skills in low light conditions and a test of involuntary pupil responses to light. The tests consistently showed major improvements in rod-based low-light vision, and the patients also noted functional improvements in their everyday lives, such as, "I can now make out objects and people in the dark." Just as striking was the rapidity of the improvement following therapy. Within 8 days, both patients were already showing measurable efficacy, said study co-author Artur V. Cidecyan, that's C-I-D-E-C-I-Y-A-N, PhD, a research professor of ophthalmology at Penn. To the researchers, the results confirmed that GUCY2D gene therapy restores rod-based photoreceptor functions and suggests that the GUCY2D LCA patients with more severe rod-based dysfunction are likely to benefit most dramatically from the therapy. The practical message is that there should be an emphasis on rod vision measurements at the screening of LCA candidates and in monitoring them throughout a treatment trial. The findings, the researchers said, also underscore the remarkable fact that in some patients with severe congenital vision loss, the retinal cell networks that mediate vision remain largely alive and intact, and need only the resupply of a missing protein to start working again, more or less immediately. Reference, Night Vision Restored in Days After Decades of Congenital Blindness by Samuel G. Jacobson, Artur V. Cidecyan, Alan C. Ho, Alejandra J. Roman, Vivian Wu, Alexandria V. Garofalo, Alexander Sumaroka, Arun K. Krishnan, Malgurzata Swider, Abraham A. Masio, Christine N. K., Dan Yoon, Kenji P. Fujita, Sanford L. Boya, Igor V. Pashenko, Alexander M. DeJour, and Shannon E. Boya, posted 3rd of October 2022 in iScience. The ongoing clinical trial is registered at clinicaltrials.gov as trial number NCT03920007. The study was funded by Asena Therapeutics, Inc., the developer of the GUCY2D gene therapy, the National Institutes of Health, and by the Pennsylvania Department of Health. Posted on fightingblindness.org by the Foundation Fighting Blindness, Together We're Winning. National Chapter Vision Webinar, Emerging Therapies and Research for Inherited Retinal Diseases, was held Saturday, November 12, 2022, from noon to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The 90-minute national webinar featured guest presentations on emerging gene therapies from Opus, a potential antioxidant treatment from NACUITY, N-A-C-U-I-T-Y, and a promising cell-based treatment from Oculo Vision, O-K-U-L-O Vision. The panel will answer, they answered, questions from the audience on a wide range of research, clinical, and therapy development topics. Featured speakers were Jamie R. Kern, MBA, PhD, NACUITY Pharmaceuticals, as Senior Vice President, Chief Clinical Officer, Marie Sassetti, MD, PhD, Chief Executive Officer, Oculo Vision. Her name is spelled C-S-E-T-E. Erin O'Neill, MD, VP of Clinical Development, Opus Genetics. Claire Gelfman, PhD, Chief Scientific Officer, Foundation Fighting Blindness. And Ben Schaberman, VP, Science Communications, Foundation Fighting Blindness. The Foundation Fighting Blindness thanks our partners for helping bring hope and results to people affected by blinding retinal diseases. And there is a list of sponsors and partners for the research on Foundation Fighting Blindness. Posted on coolblindtech.com, Penn State researchers developed new tool for blind or partially sighted computer programmers, posted November 7th. The tool, called Grid Editor, serves as a modification to traditional code editors that programmers use to add lines of code when updating features and functions in software. Prior work has focused on making different parts of the coding process more accessible for blind and partially sighted users, such as reading or navigating code. Grid Editor is the first to place emphasis on code editing, an important step in making continuous updates to software in which programmers edit and update existing code that was previously written by other programmers. There's a lot more about that, but I'm running out of time. When is Grid Editor available? Grid Editor is free to use and is publicly available online. What software is recommended to use with Grid Editor? It works best with Chrome browser with NVDA screen reader. What programming languages does Grid Editor support? It currently supports Python programming language, but support for other languages is underway. The work was supported in part by the National Institutes of Health and in part by BILLA, B-I-L-L-A-H's startup fund from the College of IST. Well, I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.